Thanks to Aslo for supporting the Productivity Show. Aslo is a free business checking account with invoicing, bill pay, money transfers, no minimum balance, and no fees. Sign up with no minimum deposit at aslo.com/TPS and get a free copy of Aslo's Small Business Starter Guide. Welcome to the Productivity Show, a podcast by Asian Efficiency to help you maximize your productivity so you can get everything done without having to sacrifice your health, family, or things that matter to you. We've helped tens of thousands of people save time, be happier, and become more productive. Now, have you ever noticed that at the end of a long web conferencing call, like a Zoom call or a Teams call, you feel way more drained than if it was an in-person meeting? The term for this is Zoom fatigue, and even if you use another tool like Microsoft Teams or Skype, it's a real thing and a lot of us are feeling it these days. In this episode, we're going to share with you 5 tips to beat Zoom fatigue and still stay productive in the day, even if you're staring at a screen full of meetings all day long. You can find links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/307. And now, on with the show. All right. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of the podcast. My name is Brooks Duncan. I am the operations director here at Asian Efficiency. And welcome, Tan.
Hey, good to see everyone here. This is Tan Pham, founder and CEO of Asian Efficiency, where we help people become more productive at work and in life. And Brooks, what are we talking about today?
Yeah, we are talking about a topic called beating Zoom fatigue. And it's very appropriate that we are talking about this topic for 2 reasons. Reason number one, this is inside baseball, but Tan and I have been on a number of Zoom calls already today. So we are definitely living the topic by beating Zoom fatigue by doing this podcast. That's number one. And number two, you may not know that we record our podcast over Zoom in front of the dojo, our live audience. So we totally recognize and own the irony of talking about Zoom fatigue while recording on Zoom. But it's the way these things work out. We like to start every episode we do and everything that we do by sharing some quick resources, some things we are loving these days. We call it our top 3 resources. So Tan, why don't you take us through your favorite top 3 resources right now?
So the first one I recommend today is an online platform or an online marketplace for freelancers called Upwork. And if you're looking for a freelancer, if you're looking for someone to help you out, whether it's part-time or full-time, there's thousands of freelancers available, whether it's graphic design needs, just some consultation, some social media help, or executive assistance. There's so much out there that you can contact and need help for. So I recommend you check out Upwork.com. And the second one is Canva. It's an online tool to create graphics. And it's, think of it as like a design platform that allows you to kind of like have like really basic Photoshop skills in a way. But you can also create presentations, social media graphics, posters, and other visual content. And this is a tool that we use to create graphics for some of our courses, some of our social media. We're a big fan of the Canva tool, so we recommend that you check that out as well. And the third one is an app called Crisp. It's K-R-I-S-P. It's available on Windows, on Chrome, on Mac, and on iOS. And what it does is it's a noise-canceling app. So you know how we always talk about noise-canceling headphones and how it kind of like zooms out the background noise? Well, with Crisp, it's kind of like an app on your computer that does the same thing. So you can have a dog in the background or you can have static noise in the background running. But because of the app running in the background, it will cancel that out. So it's a great tool for those who are working from home, do a lot of conference calls, are on a lot of meetings. So we definitely recommend that you check that out, crisp.ai.
Yeah, Crisp is a tool that sounds too good to be true, but we learned about it from Marmel, who's on the Asian Efficiency team, sometimes host of the Productivity Show, and she has dogs and all sorts of stuff going on at home, and we can't tell at all. It's pretty remarkable. So Zoom fatigue. This is a big topic that a lot of us are going through right now. And we say Zoom fatigue, but it doesn't necessarily have to be Zoom. It could be Microsoft Teams. It could be Skype. It's really exploded with the move to work from home. So if you're new to working from home, you're trying to figure it out, and you're just trying to keep up with these overwhelming amounts of video calls that you suddenly have every day, this episode's for you. Or maybe you are used to video meetings, but you just accept the fact that you're going to feel absolutely exhausted by the end of the day. This episode is also for you. So whatever tool you use, I know, for example, in the chat that we have alongside recording this podcast, Lee from the dojo says this recording is his sixth Zoom call of the day. So I know a lot of us are living through that. My wife, who is working from home right now, she has wall to wall. I hear her all day long on Microsoft Teams calls. And we want to mention, speaking of working from home, that one of the resources I want to point you to is a Productive at Home course that we created. We launched it earlier and it was received really, really well. So we want to bring it back. So if you're listening to this and you go to www.productive.house, you can learn more about Productive at Home. Anything else you want to say about Productive at Home, Tan?
It's our new flagship course where we teach people how to be productive working from home. And so if you're brand new to working from home or you feel like you're not as productive as you could be, we recommend that you check out that course. Again, it's at www.productive.house.
So video conferencing tools are amazing. I really believe that. We kind of take it for granted now, but if you think about it, especially if you've been in the workforce for a while, it really does feel like we're living in the future. We can have these really rich and productive meetings with people all over the world. So for example, at AE, I'm personally in the Pacific time, Tan is in the Central time, we have members in Philippine Standard Time, so we're all meeting, we've got a difference of 8,000 miles, we've got a 15-hour time zone, but somehow we're still able to get together and have really productive meetings, and a lot of that is due to these web conferencing tools. The only problem is, what a lot of us are finding is that something about these Zoom meetings, these Teams meetings, you could be in a meeting for an hour and a half and you just feel way more tired and drained at the end of that meeting than if you were in an in-person meeting sitting at home or sitting at the office talking to people. Have you found that, Tan?
Yeah, I've definitely discovered how being on Zoom all day, which is what we use internally here at Asian Efficiency, it's one thing to be on a call here and there, but to do it back to back to back for some of us, we're on the sixth meeting of the day. It can get really fatiguing and really tiring. And so we have a few tips here that will help you with that and make sure that by the end of the day, you still have energy and motivation and desire to do the things that you want to do because we all have a limited amount of time, right? So we want to make sure we maximize that. And there are some really cool tips and tricks that you can use here. So whether you use Zoom or another tool, we're going to help you out here today.
Yeah, in some ways, a web conferencing tool is kind of like the, even though it is amazing, it's like the worst of all worlds. Our brain has to do extra work because we're used to picking up these nonverbal cues when we're talking to somebody. You don't really think about how much you do that until you're on these web conferencing sessions, these Zoom sessions, and your brain is working overtime, watching the person you're talking to, trying to grab something. And we have to actually work at it, whether we know it or not. Our brain is actually working at it, trying to pick up these cues. We also have to actively work to appear interested, which sounds kind of funny, but I know for me, just the way my setup is, my camera is kind of just above my monitor. So if I'm looking at what's being shared, or I'm looking at a document on my computer, or I'm looking at the person, I find that I'm looking down. But then if I feel like I want to appear engaged in the conversation, I have to look up at the camera. And so that's, you know, doing that for an hour and a half, 2 hours, you know, we're not talking about coal mining here, but it is something that you subconsciously have to work at. And all these sorts of things, like being bolted to the chair when you're on these web conferencing meetings, you're kind of sitting at possibly a non-natural position for a long time. All these things kind of add up and they add to this concept, this thing we have called Zoom fatigue. Lee in the chat brings up a great point, which is you mentioned, Tan, that these Zoom meetings, these web conference meetings are more efficient for sure. But what tends to happen is because you have these way more efficient meetings, a lot of times, this is especially something that happens happens in corporate, a lot of times what that just means is more meetings get squeezed into the day because you can.
Yeah, I definitely find that since the pandemic started, obviously more of us are now being at home and we have to work from home and we have to be in sync somehow with our team and the people that we work with, and naturally that progressed into doing more online calls and virtual meetings and Zoom meetings. And first, when we were talking about this topic, I thought, Brooks, this is kind of like a first world problem. Should we really be talking about this? But after being on the other side now for many months, I will say I feel really tiring after a long day of just doing Zoom calls, even though I'm not expending that much energy physically. Mentally, I am, because like you said, if you've ever been on a Zoom meeting where you have like 15 participants on there and they all have their cameras on, you know, like your brain is just going like 1,000 miles an hour, looking at everyone, what everyone's doing and so on. And especially if you're a speaker, then oftentimes you're really concerned about, you know, do I look like proper on screen? Like, is everyone engaged? And it's a very different experience than when you're actually in person, because oftentimes when we're in an office setting, you know, if one person is super energetic and has lots of energy, it kind of uplifts everyone else to kind of be excited about what's going on, especially if the educator or teacher or the one leading the meeting has tons of energy and is, you know, vibrant and laughing and cracking jokes. It kind of uplifts everyone's energy, but that is kind of missed when we do these virtual calls. So we have 5 tips here today to help you address some of these things.
Yeah, I definitely want to acknowledge, I'm glad you mentioned that. We have a member of the dojo named Moses. He is in construction and runs a construction company. And unfortunately, he's not here on this live recording, but I'm going to venture to guess that his definition of fatigue is a little different than the definition we're talking about here, which I totally accept and own. But just because something is different and maybe not quite the same level doesn't mean it's not real. So like you said, we have 5 tips that we are going to take you through for how to beat Zoom fatigue. And I'm going to start with tip number one, which is use the active speaker mode of your tool whenever possible. So what do I mean by active speaker mode? Well, think about if you're in an in-person meeting. So you're in the office, you're sitting around, probably you're sitting around some sort of conference table or something like that. Chances are when someone else is talking, you're looking at that person and maybe you have the view of the two people sitting on either side of that person. And you're kind of focusing on what that person's saying. Well, what you're not doing is you're not looking at every single person in the room all at once. You're not watching them all moving. You're not kind of like taking note of what they're all wearing. You're not noticing when they're paying attention and not paying attention. You're not checking out the fake Hawaiian background they have behind them. Like you said before, you don't have, there's this huge barrage of information and distraction coming at you all at once. And that is something that really, really your brain has to go into overdrive, like you said. This constant stream of inputs is really, really draining. So one solution to that is, in Zoom anyway, what you can do is you can set it to, instead of showing the grid of people that is speaking, set it to only show the active speaker so that you're almost replicating that in-person experience. That person shows up and when someone else talks, it switches to them. That can be a little distracting too, jumping back and forth, but it's still better, in my opinion anyway, and from the research that I've read, it's still better than having this big grid of people that you have coming at you. This is a feature of Zoom. There's usually a button up in the right that you can change between grid, active speaker, all that sort of thing. I don't think Microsoft Teams has this feature. If somebody knows otherwise, please let me know. What you can do is pin the current speaker. Now, if you're in a meeting with a lot of different discussion, you're probably not going to sit there and like keep pinning whoever happens to be talking. But if you're in a session where there is like a kind of more defined speaker, it can be helpful to hit that pin on that person and focus on just the person speaking. It'll give your brain a bit of a break. How about you, Tan? Do you ever use this, or do you like seeing the grid?
No, I don't like seeing the grid whatsoever. I prefer the active speaker mode because it's just less distracting. And also my personality is naturally to be very inclusive, whether I'm hosting a dinner party or putting a gathering in place or a play board game with my friends. I want to make sure everyone has a good time. And so I'm naturally always paying attention to everyone that's around me to make sure that they don't look bored, or if they're not engaged, that, you know, I will start a conversation with them so that they are engaged. And if something is not right, or I get a sense of like something is off, then I always try to resolve that somehow. Like if anyone is familiar with an Enneagram, which is kind of like a personality test, I'm a number 9, which is a peacemaker. So my natural tendency is just to make sure everyone is okay. And, you know, if there's any conflict, that, you know, I'm seeking harmony and that everything's all fine and dandy. And so when I'm on Zoom, if I have the grid mode on, then I'm naturally looking at everyone, especially if I'm speaking or teaching. I want to make sure everyone's looking engaged and like is, you know, paying attention. And even if someone's walking away to grab, you know, a glass of water, I go, oh no, like, you know, did I say something wrong? Or like, did I do something that, you know, made them want to disengage or something? And that kind of like throws you off for everyone else, right? And so by putting in an active speaker mode, you don't get those kinds of distractions. And it makes it so much easier to focus. And if you've ever done any sort of public speaking, you know that, you know, sometimes people leave to go to the bathroom, or they stand up because they have to go somewhere else. Or maybe someone does leave because maybe this topic is not right for them. And in the beginning, I used to always be so concerned. I'm like, oh my gosh, this person is leaving. Like, did I say something wrong? Or like, is my speech that terrible or something? But it's just part of the game. Like, stuff like that happens. And it's the same thing with Zoom, right? If you see people kind of like leaving or whatever, it's not really your fault. I'm sure they have stuff going on that they have to do. And so you can kind of minimize all of these distractions by just turning on the active speaker mode.
In 2020, every business in the U.S. is learning how to adapt day by day. But why aren't banks? Unnecessary fees or taking a trip to your bank is the last thing business owners need to be thinking about. Aslo takes all the friction out of business banking, instead of insisting that you handle your banking as if the internet never existed. Aslo is a free business checking account with invoicing, bill pay, money transfers, no minimum balance, and no fees. Usually with other banks, there is big minimum deposits, but not with Aslo. There's no minimum deposit required, and you'll never be charged maintenance or overdraft fees, and there's no ridiculous phone system that feels like it's designed to waste your time. Instead of the days or weeks it takes to apply for an account at a traditional bank, where you're still required to go in person, this is 2020 and this still happens, with Aslo, no. You just go to azlo.com and apply at in as little as 10 minutes. And there's no waiting or annoying holds to use your account. With Aslo's free instant funding feature, you can deposit up to $1,000 and access it in your account instantly. Aslo's owned by BBVA USA, which is an FDIC member. So because they make their business banking easy and offer a fee-free checking account, Money Magazine called them the best business banking option for freelancers and entrepreneurs. For me personally, traditional business banking has been all about annoyance and frustration. I've dealt with a brick and mortar bank here for business banking, and every time I want to do something, it either involves one more fee that I have to pay, or I find out that whatever I want to do is not possible with their online system. These people are supposed to help me grow my business, not stand in my way. This is why Aslo is so refreshing. Everything's online and everything's easy. Now, we've talked a lot about side hustles here at The Productivity Show, and right now Aslo has a cool feature on their site called the Business Foundry Project. You go through a wizard and answer a few questions, and it will give you a bunch of suggestions for side hustles and extra income for you, with links for automatic signups and resources to help you get started earning extra money, which is really helpful at this time. So sign up right now with no minimum deposit at aslo.com/TPS and get a free copy of Aslo's Small Business Starter Guide. Spelled azlo.com/TPS and sign up with a free business starter guide and no minimum deposit. That's aslo.com/TPS. Yeah, like any of these tips, it depends on your circumstance. Like Kimmy in the dojo chat brings up a good point, which is teachers, for example, might not want that feature because for them, you want to be able to see your whole class. And this is something that definitely a lot of teachers who, because of the pandemic, were thrown into remote teaching have really been struggling with, especially since a lot of them are using Microsoft Teams, which really limits the number of people you can have on screen at once. I think it used to be 4. I think they've just updated it to 6 or 9. 9. I can't remember which, but if you look up Microsoft Teams stuff, it feels like half the forum posts are by teachers saying they need a way to be able to see their class. So like anything else, it depends. You know, you have to adapt these tips for your particular situation. But if you are in a situation where you can get away with just watching the active speaker, it really does give your brain a break. That's tip number one. Tip number two is in some ways kind of the opposite of that, which is what we recommend is to turn off the self-view option. So what does this mean? This means that when you are in a Zoom call, you can see the people that you're talking to, whether you're focusing on the active speaker or a grid or whatever, but you can actually turn off your own camera. And when I say that, I don't mean literally turn off your camera, but you can turn off your ability to see your own camera. So other people can still see you on screen, but you can't. So what this does is this reduces that anxiety that we all have when we're on these video calls. Like, for example, whenever my wife does a FaceTime, most of what she talks about is she gets distracted looking at herself, seeing how she looks on camera. And a lot of us do that as well. You know, you want to see, is the lighting right? We can't help it. We are always checking out how we look. And you can actually turn this off in Zoom. So you could start the meeting, make sure you look okay, make sure everything looks fine, and then you can turn off your own self-view. To do that, what you do is you right-click on your video, the thumbnail of your video, and there's an option there, I believe, called Hide Self-View. And so when we do that, we know that we're being watched when we're on camera, way more than in person. Somehow when you're in person, we've all just spent our entire lives being in rooms with other people, so we don't think about it as much. But when we're on camera, it's a different story. So there's this sense that we're always being watched when we're on camera, and turning off your self-view can help with that.
So I find that really is useful because it's like a habit you kind of have to build, right? So first you come on camera, you want to make sure you look okay, and then you turn it off right away. So the opposite of that is if you are clicking on this, whether it's the right click or the three buttons that show up on Zoom, if you click on that, you see an option menu come up and then it says hide self view. So the opposite of that, which is what we don't recommend, is that you pin your own video. Because once you do that, I'm doing it actually right now as we're recording, I'm actually looking at myself right now. And this gives me even more anxiety as I'm teaching or doing this podcast right now. So that's the opposite of what you wanted. So don't do that. And if you do that, we want to make sure you unpin that. And so I find this really helpful. And then another trick, if you are kind of concerned about your appearance, this is a little bit more advanced. So Zoom has this checkbox under the video settings. So if you go to the Zoom preferences, under the video settings, there's a checkbox that says touch up my appearance. And if you click on that, which is, I believe, turned off by default, it'll make your skin look a little softer and you look less blemished. And so if you kind of, you know, want to look like 5 years younger, then turn on this checkbox and you'll look 5 years younger and your skin will glow and you look amazing. By just think of it as like an Instagram filter, but for Zoom, and you'll just look 5 years younger just putting that checkbox on. So if you care about your appearance, that's an easy, quick win. And also, if you then hide yourself, you know you're going to be looking good and just fine. And you can just focus on teaching or leading the meeting.
Your skin is glowing today, Tan. I wasn't going to say, but since you brought it up.
Thank you. I think all the coconut oil is paying off.
All right. So that's tip number two. Turn off your self-view option. I don't believe that Microsoft Teams has this option. I know Zoom for sure does. I don't believe Teams does, but hopefully it will get it soon. So that's tip number two. Tip number three is to take mini breaks. And this is helpful with any meeting, of course, but it's even more so helpful with these Zoom calls. So we mentioned that multiple people who are watching this recording live, this is their sixth Zoom call of the day. Alice, I believe, said it's her fourth. This is my third. I'm not sure about you, Tan, but we all have, like we mentioned earlier, we all have a lot of these Zoom calls or Teams calls or Skype calls multiple times through the day. And having these back-to-back-to-back Zoom meetings can really worsen Zoom fatigue. Now, ideally, in a perfect world, what would be great is if we were able to not schedule it that way, if we were able to schedule, say, a half hour buffer between each meeting or something like that to really rest and recover. That would be really, really great. But sometimes we don't have a choice. Sometimes people just book us on these back-to-back meetings, especially when you work in corporate. Sometimes you just don't have a choice. You get added to the meetings you get added to. You have to be on these meetings, and there's nothing that you can do about it. So if you are in that situation, what we recommend that you do is try as much as possible, just even if it's just 5 minutes, just stand up. It can be really tempting, say, when you finish a meeting and you're about to go into another one, to like go check your email or dip into Teams or Zoom to chat and see what's going, or Slack or whatever, and see what's going on. If you can get away with it, we recommend stand up, just stretch a little bit, walk around a little bit, and then go down and get into your meeting. Like, make a conscious effort to stand up and just take a little break. I did this today, actually. We had a back-to-back meeting. We only had, I think, 10 minutes in between meetings or something like that this morning. So there's a lot of stuff I could have done in those 10 minutes for sure. But what I chose to do was stand up, just walk around my office and think about what we were going to be talking about in the next meeting. And then when I sat down to my next meeting, I was ready to go.
And sometimes what happens also is we have a longer meeting and it might roll into the next meeting. And instead of just starting that meeting right away, oftentimes we will just take a 5 to 10 minute break and start the second meeting a little bit later. So that way we do have a little bit of a break, whether it's, you know, a bio break or we just want to rest a little bit. So that's something you want to consider as well, especially if you're leading those meetings back to back anyways. I think introducing like a 5 to 10 minute break is always a good idea. And kind of like a rule of thumb for me is like every hour of meeting time requires like a 5 minute break. And if we go over 90 minutes, then I would introduce at least a 15 minute break so that we can quickly have a snack if needed to, or use the bathroom, or do some other things as well. And what I usually like to do is go outside, go on my balcony or catch some sun, because I know from taking multiple blood tests that I'm vitamin D deficient, and it has a big impact on your mood and also just your health. And so for me, it's become a new habit now to go outside and catch some sun for 5 to 10 minutes to increase my vitamin D intake, which helps me feel better because it affects your mood, right? And if you want to have a more advanced strategy, if you are someone who's more of in control of your schedule, if you use a tool like Calendly or Schedule Ones or one of those booking tools that allows people to book meetings with you, there's usually a setting there that says that you don't want to have more than, let's say, 2 bookings per day. So that way you don't get bombarded by all these bookings in one particular day. I always recommend that you book no more than 3 per day. So that way you can do those 3, but also have all the other meetings that might be pre-booked already with your team or other people, right? And so, for example, I use Calendly. That's kind of like my scheduler tool. And I have a setting in there that doesn't allow people to book more than 3 meetings in one day with me, right? And so even though I technically might have the space and time on my calendar to do 4 meetings or bookings, the tool won't allow that to happen. So if you are someone who is in control of their schedule in that sense, and you use a booking tool like that, I would update that setting right now.
Yep. So if you can get away with it, set that up. If not, then at least try to take these mini breaks, even little power breaks, walk around the room for 5 minutes, then get back and get into the next one. It does make a difference, even though it's so tempting to just spend time in Slack or email or something like that. So that's tip number 3. Tip number 4 is to go camera off if you can get away with it and if it makes sense. And this is going to sound like kind of funny recommendation, because we've done other podcasts about working from home, and we talk about the power of having your camera on, and we do definitely believe in that for sure, and which we're going to talk about in a second. However, there is also a lot of benefit to going strategically camera off if you can get away with it. Now, sometimes you have no choice. Sometimes if your boss says this meeting is camera on, then you've got to do it. I recently was on a listening to a webinar, and the person runs a big accounting firm globally, and they made a rule that all web conferencing meetings are camera on all the time, so that they can basically see their people and make sure that they're paying attention. So that is definitely one approach, and I get why that is helpful. because having camera on does make things better. If you have a meeting where you want a lot of collaboration from everyone, having cameras on makes things richer and really does increase participation and accountability for sure. However, it also adds to the stress of needing to be visually on when there may not be a real need for it. Not every meeting necessarily has to be camera on. And it really does add to the energy drain over time. I don't know if you find this, Tam, but I personally find if I'm on two meetings that are exact same length, one of them is camera on, one of them is camera off, I feel way more drained after the camera on meeting, even if I'm having the exact same level of focus and intensity on the topic.
Yeah, I completely agree. And we've seen this internally as well. Some of the ladies are always concerned and they ask way in advance, hey, is this a camera on meeting or a camera off meeting? And when I tell them that it's camera on, they go, okay, let me put my nightgown away and I'm going to actually wear something proper to be on the call with everyone. And so anytime you turn your camera on, there's just so many more decisions and thoughts that people have about that, right? And it takes away the, you can really be anonymous in a way when you have your camera on because you have to be on camera and in a way look proper and decent, right? Even if it's only from the top up, right? And so there's a lot more activity, stuff involved when you turn your camera on, whereas when you turn it off, you can just hop on, you know, if your hair doesn't look that great, nobody will ever know. If you have, you know, some blemishes or acne on your face, nobody will ever know. If you're wearing your nightgown, pajamas, or you're completely shirtless, nobody will ever know, right? So nobody will care. And it makes the meeting so much easier, right? And so whenever you have the opportunity to turn the camera off, I would say do that. So for us, for here at AE, we usually have the camera on when we do our weekly meeting, our monthly meeting, and then our backlog grooming. So when we go over our sprint of what's coming up. And then all the other meetings that we have are typically turned off. So for example, we have an operations meeting and it's usually me, Brooks, and Marmel. And the camera is always turned off because we do a lot of screen sharing, right? And we kind of go over some issues together or tasks and that's about it. I don't need to see them because we have meeting day and we kind of do that every Wednesday, as you might have known. And whenever we have meeting day, we are on camera. But then as soon as we are off camera for our whole team meeting, once we have the smaller meetings, because oftentimes they happen before or after the whole like camera on meetings, we don't feel the need to have the camera turned on, right? So it's not like I'm then, you know, getting shirtless or something after those meetings and then hop on the ops meeting or anything like that. That doesn't happen. But it just eliminates a lot of decision fatigue and just worrisome and anxiety by turning the camera off. And also a little bit more efficient as well, especially if you are concerned about bandwidth, right? So some of us might be on the road or traveling on the phone in a foreign country. And so by turning the camera off, you save a lot of bandwidth that way as well.
Yeah, I saw a tweet once. I wish I favored it because I tried to find it so I could link to it in the show notes. But basically what it said is that one way you can tell people who have been working from home a long time, like work from home veterans and people who are more new to it, is that work from home veterans tend to default to camera off when you're starting a meeting and work people who are newer to it default to camera on. And I think there's some truth to that. I think I'm sure we've all been in that situation where you have a one-on-one call with somebody and maybe you call in with your camera off and then the other person turns on their camera. So it's like, okay, I guess we're going camera on. And I think that people who have been working for a long time kind of get that balance, but maybe I think a lot of meetings are defaulting to camera on when they don't necessarily need to. Now, Janira brings up a great point, which is some of her team struggles with COVID isolation and they do camera on for their huddles to help with that because to get back that that context, that, you know, seeing each other help reduce isolation. And I totally agree with that. That's something we brought up on earlier podcast episodes about working from home. And I think that is really, really powerful. So I totally agree with that and stand by it. However, just because you do that sometimes, which is really, really helpful, doesn't always mean that you have to do it all the time. So what we're saying is we're not saying camera off all the time, but we are saying you don't necessarily have to default to camera on all the time. It'll really reduce the drag and the drain you have with these web conferencing, these Zoom calls, these team calls, if you can get away with having your camera off.
They bring up a good point, which is having the camera on when you have one-on-one meetings with someone. I find that to be much more engaging and effective as well when you can actually see the other person when you are having that one-on-one conversation, right? And so if I had to kind of like summarize how we make a decision around camera on or camera off, I think it really comes down to if the whole company or the whole team is there, we turn our cameras on because then we can kind of see everyone, right? And it's kind of like our way of checking in, and especially since we are remote, been like that for the last almost 10 years now. It's a nice way to kind of be in touch that way. And if we're doing one-on-one calls, but then if we have like smaller team meetings where it's like 2, 3, 4, 5 or so, then we oftentimes have those off, especially if we had a camera on meeting before then. Typically, if that's the case, we usually have the cameras off on the subsequent meetings because we've kind of seen each other already. We kind of know what everyone is at and what they're looking like and what's going on. But if there are specific meetings where it's very discussion heavy, then I would always recommend turning the camera on because when we are having discussions, it's nice to be able to see the other people as well. But if someone's just leading and kind of teaching or just leading the meeting, kind of like over going over some stuff, I think you wouldn't have to need to have the camera on.
All right. So our final tip, tip number 5, is probably the hardest one to do, even though it sounds easy. And that is to avoid multitasking. This can be so hard when you're doing video calls because the distractions are right there. You know, you go, I mean, I've worked in corporate, so I've been in those meetings where you're in a personal, like an in-person meeting with someone and they're on their BlackBerry, or this shows my age, they're on their, they're on their iPhone, they're typing away on their laptop, and it's just the worst. And a lot of people won't do that. They'll be sitting there and be engaged. However, it is so hard to avoid when you're on a Zoom call, a Teams call, because you go on a call, somebody else starts talking, and right the next thing you know, you're checking email, or you're replying to somebody in Slack, or you're working on that task that you have to do later in the day, and you just want to like you want to do one little thing, and the next thing you know, you've got multitasking going on. My wife actually just told me last night about the worst example of this I've ever heard, where one of her coworkers was in a meeting with them. However, he was also invited to this other meeting he had to be at the same time. And he was invited to this other meeting that he had to be at the same time. And he either didn't want to or couldn't decline them. So as he was talking to them on Teams, he had one headphone in one ear with the other meeting and another headphone in the other ear with the third meeting. So he was on 3 meetings at once. I was laughing so hard when she was telling me about that. That is the most extreme example. I think I don't need to say that you probably shouldn't do that. However, there's a more insidious multitasking, like I was saying, the being on a meeting, having something going on your screen, but doing other things at the same time. That just really... A, it cuts your performance because you're not really focusing on any one thing. So from a finisher's fast lane, deep work focus standpoint, it's horrible anyway, but it really strains your mind and makes that meeting way more draining than it would be otherwise. So one thing we recommend is if you are going to be on a video call, like a Zoom call or a Teams call, shut down your Outlook, shut down your Slack. You can't shut down Teams, obviously, but try to shut down those distracting apps because otherwise it's just so tempting to flip over to them. One thing you could even do is take notes on paper. So if you're somebody who maybe has your Zoom meeting in one window and like a text editor or something in another window, maybe that's an opportunity to jot down on a piece of paper your notes and then you can do something with them later.
One of my favorite books is called Brain Rules, and I read this like over 10 years ago, but it's an introductory book on how the brain works. And one of the things that the author was talking about is how the brain can only focus on one thing at a time. It can actually not multitask. It can only focus on one thing at a time. And so when you see someone, quote unquote, multitasking, they actually call it switch tasking. It's the idea that the brain switches focus between things very quickly, which is very draining on the brain. But also, we tend to make more mistakes when we multitask. And it's one of the reasons why we don't want people to be texting and driving at the same time, because that's when accident rates go up, right? And it's because our brain cannot multitask. If we want to maximize our brain power, what we really should be doing is doing one thing at a time. And so anytime you feel the tendency to do multiple things at once or to multitask, just take a step back and say, hey, how can I just do one thing at a time? Because the people who do one thing at a time are actually more efficient compared to the people who do multitask. They've done several studies on this where they had like two groups of people and they both had the same to-do list, but one group of people would multitask, so they would do multiple things at the same time. And then they had another group of people who would only do one task at a time. And what they have found is that the people who do one task at a time were actually faster at getting their to-do list done compared to the people who did multiple things at the same time or multitasking. And so it's in your own benefit to actually be present and to do just one thing at a time. So check out that book, Brain Rules. I believe the author is John Medina. It's one of my favorite books and worth checking out. And then also, one thing I have found when the camera is on, it's really easy to spot who is multitasking. And it doesn't make you look good, especially if you are being caught multitasking or doing different things. So one of my favorite things to do is always, you know, turn off all the apps, right? Including my phone. So even though I might have my phone with me sometimes, it's always better to put it away in a different room before you do anything. It makes it easier to focus, right? But if you do have your phone, put it on Do Not Disturb, and you kind of have the same setting on your computer as well. You can oftentimes set a Do Not Disturb mode on your computer so that no notifications pop up. And when the meeting ends, you can turn that back off and then be updated on all the notifications you might have missed out on.
Yeah, Do Not Disturb is something I always set Do Not Disturb when I'm sharing my screen. Obviously, you don't want stuff popping up when you're sharing your screen, but I've started to do it when I'm just on any Zoom meeting. I turn on Do Not Disturb, and I find it really does help me with my focus. A lot of people who are in the chat with this podcast are copying to multitasking, and a lot of people are commenting that the chat qualifies as multitasking. I prefer to think of the chat as a part of the podcast recording, so I don't consider that multitasking. Giacomo is asking about Do Not Disturb in Teams. I was more referencing setting Do Not Disturb on the whole device. So for myself, I set my Mac to Do Not Disturb, and Windows has one called Focus Mode. I can't remember the exact term. You can right-click down in the bottom right of your Windows screen and set Focus Mode that way as well. All right, so that is our five tips. So tip number one was use active speaker mode whenever possible. Tip number two was turn off your self-view option. Tip number three was to take mini breaks. Tip number four was to go camera off when it makes sense. Tip number five is to avoid multitasking. And what we recommend is your next web conference meeting, whether it's Zoom, Teams, Skype, whatever, go on Do Not Disturb mode on your device and shut down your email program, whether it's Outlook, Gmail, whatever. Use that as an opportunity to build your focus muscle and see what more you get out of the meeting that you're in when you're actually focused and pay attention on it. We want to also recommend you check out that productive www.productive.house, where you can learn more about our Productive at Home. And of course, everything we talked about, including that Brain Rules book and everything, every resource we talk about is linked to in the show notes, which are at theproductivityshow.com/307. So thank you so much, everybody. I really appreciate you listening. At Asian Efficiency, we believe that you shouldn't have to sacrifice your personal life to get stuff done. You should be able to get everything done in the time that you have. That's why we've built a productivity quiz to help you maximize the time you have, increase your energy, and get you more focused. We've helped tens of thousands of people increase their productivity, and within 2 minutes of taking the productivity quiz, we'll show you exactly what you need to do next to increase your productivity. To take the quiz, just go to theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Again, that URL is theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Don't let your never-ending to-do list drag you down and stop sacrificing your health and family to get stuff done. Take the quiz today and you'll be on your way to becoming superhuman productive. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us an iTunes review or a star in Overcast. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.